Do you live your life rock boat to rock boat? If so, then welcome aboard the Boatcast, the podcast for rock boaters by rock boaters. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jack Wepler of Paris Mitchell. Welcome. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
How many times is this? This is like three, four times. I don't know. We are privileged to have you back again, man.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I think it's like the second or third time for sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Last time I was in a rush and I had completely forgotten about it and I had to pull out my phone, and I didn't feel very equipped and prepared. So now,
I feel
good.
Cool.
I'm a laptop.
Yeah, yeah, we were on in around this exact time in 2022.
That feels so long ago. Yet it feels like just a month or two.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Dude, you've been putting out some really good stuff, man.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it a lot.
It's added your songs to my playlist. I was listening to them today again, and congratulations on the Mixed Emotions Arcade.
Thanks, man.
Is that an LP?
Yeah, it's my first full album. Nice. I really just wanted to make an album because I never really done it. Even with the band, we always had put out EPs and singles, and we would kind of, we'd make, collections that you can kind of deem as albums, but never had really put out a full album. So I really wanted to know what that felt like. And I just went to the studio. I didn't have any, artists I had in mind. Like, I wanted to sound like this. I want to sound like that. I generally just went in, and I told my producers and my co-writers, I just want to make the best songs possible. Let's just have fun with it. If a song sounds like it should go in a specific direction that might not be in my comfort zone, let's go with it anyway.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to have fun doing it. And I did. I had such a blast making it. And I think it shows in the record when you listen to it in its entirety. You can hear that we had fun making it.
So talk to me. Everyone has a different mentality going into studio time. Do you have a lot of it like pre-made ready, or are you know we had who was it, American author Zach, he would go running in the morning and come back with material and bring it to the band and just crank it out?
I just have a lot of voice notes on my phone. The worst thing is I feel like I get my best ideas while I'm driving, so I'm trying to record into my phone singing something and stay alive at the same time. Normally sometimes I might have a whole song written and go in and say, all right, let's bang this one out. Other times I might just have a chorus idea, a verse idea, a riff, a lyric. It might just be like a phrase I heard earlier that week and it might sound kind of catchy. So, you know what, let's write a song off of that and build from there. So it always kind of varies, and it also depends on who I'm working with. Because when you first start working with new producers and writers and stuff, it's always, you're always feeling each other out. And, sometimes it could not be, so successful and you might not really vibe. The work ethic and the workflow might not vibe. But I was really fortunate to, work with a couple of people who I just vibed with immediately. And I had actually, stop me if I've told this story before, but my first, day in the studio, one of the producers, told me that I looked familiar, and he asked me if I'm a musician in any other bands. I told him about Night Without Cars, and he was like, oh, well, I think I've met you before. He's like, were you just on the Rock Boat? And I was like, nice. Yeah. He goes, so was I. He was
what?
He was playing with Mickey James.
Nice.
Yeah, and funny enough, you talk about American authors too. His manager is American Authors guy, and and they've written with the authors like 100 times over. So it's just this weird full circle moment. You know, I always kind of quip about how, like, if it wasn't for the Sessions ship, I really probably wouldn't have had the you know, courage, for lack of a better word, to, like, you know, pursue the solo stuff. But it's funny how frequently outside of that, the Rock Boats kind of read its head back into my life, or someone's there to remind me of it all. But it's really exciting.
Well, we were reminded of you. We saw your boy Matt playing up there with Sister Hazel, and we were like, we need Jack back on this boat too.
Yes. Matt came back, and he immediately texted all of us and was like, all right, let's FaceTime. You know, I got stories. We were super excited about him being on the boat, getting to hang out with, like, the Struts. We love the Struts.
Oh, we're my big goodness.
Struts fans.
Showman. So,
going on that boat with them was pretty probably pretty legendary for sure.
You have no idea.
Yes, there was definitely some FOMO. Oh yeah, for sure.
There was
FOMO.
For people that aren't in the industry, when an artist decides to pick a manager, right? Like, how does that, or not a manager, a producer to help you with with the album? How does that work? Do you, like, go online and, like, Google available managers? Like, can you walk? Because I have no idea.
Portal?
No,
like, so how does it work?
In my experience, it's always just been the more you put yourself out there and the more you network, the more you find people and people find you.
Okay.
You know, there's been times where I've found people that, you know, I tried out that didn't necessarily help with anything for the most part. And then there's others who just kind of come out of the woodwork randomly, and can end up, you know, really helping project, your goals. I feel like for me personally, I don't go, like, searching the internet. I just start asking people who I trust. You know, I'm fortunate enough to be in this for quite some time, so I made a decent amount of friends within, you know, the musician circle. So I typically just start asking other artists that I enjoy, hey, who do you work with? Who have you worked with? You know, would you recommend, you know, X, Y, and Z? That's initially how I found my guys for this record. Somebody who's my manager basically set this up. He had worked with them in the past. He said, I think you guys would be a really good fit. I listened to some of their music. It was really awesome. The studio was in Brooklyn, so I didn't have to, you know, travel or anything like that. And it was just an instant click. It was, you know, we wrote a song, like, in the first day. Immediately, it was just, like, really, really great magic at work.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
You know, I was looking at some of the artwork off of some of your most recent music, and I have to say, it's this, the Nintendo vibe kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where did that come from, and what was your first Nintendo game you ever had?
Oh, that's good. This is gonna be a long podcast. The idea of it all came from, for, like, a long time in the industry, at least for me, I always felt like, you know, I not that I necessarily had to imitate other artists, but I definitely felt, you know, like I had to be within the same realm as them in the way that I dressed, in the way that I, you know, performed, in my overall aesthetic and my branding. And I tried that kind of at first with the solo project, and it just didn't feel right. It didn't set well with me. Because the whole reason I started doing this was to kind of just be my most authentic self and see, you know, what I can learn from myself from doing this, and, you know, what challenges, that I can, you know, hurdle over on my own. And I said, you know, let's just go back to basics, and let me just, if I'm making the music that I want to hear, then I think everything else should follow suit. So I think I'm just going to, you know, really dress the way I want to dress that I think is cool. And talk about things and make things that are important to me that I like. I love video games. And I always have. And it already kind of set in itself in motion, titling it the Mixed Emotions Arcade. So I've just been having fun with that, just, you know, making like video game style art for it and everything. And kind of pushing the overall branding and aesthetic into that direction, at least for this this particular record. Nice. And my first Nintendo game was Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Oh.
And I play it all the time, every year. It's my favorite.
Same system?
No, I play it on my 3DS now. I sit there and my girlfriend yells at me to, you know, pay attention to 90 Day Fiancé and not Zelda. But
what was the biggest hurdle or challenge you had in this process?
That's easy. So I had initially went into the record with a label I was signed under. It was an independent label. I did my second EP with them. I had no issues. It was pretty straightforward. And then kind of the long and short of it is this record, we were in the middle, actually it was really closer to the end of making the record, but we hit a hurdle when the label basically, now my opinion, probably, you know, I didn't sign any NDAs, so I can talk about whatever I want, but basically I think that maybe they might have been having some like financial issues, and and they were like just dropping projects and stuff. They dropped my A&R, who was my artist relations, who was like my guy that I always reported to and would help me out and stuff. So once he got dropped, I was like, I don't feel really good about this. And then through a string of emails and Zoom calls and stuff like that, eventually came to the consensus that they weren't going to pony up and pay for the record, which the timing was just god awful, because we were on the tail end of finishing it. So it was about, you know, 10 months of work, you know, tireless work. It was like, you know, in the studio, like every other day for about, you know, 9 to 10 months. And my whole team, my producers, my writers, you know, mastering, you know, everything, nobody was getting paid. And it was a, you know, a hefty invoice at the end of the day, that I couldn't handle on my own by any stretch of the imagination. I ended up launching a Kickstarter, in December. Luckily it pulled through. I still had I definitely dumped a hefty amount of my own money into it, as much as I could possibly manage. But, for the most part, you know, the record wouldn't be, coming out right now if it weren't for all the, you know, the generous donations and help, getting the record straight. I was in a tough, you know, pickle, and I thought to myself, you know what, I think I have enough friends and enough support to where maybe I can make that happen. You know, met enough people in the industry, and I know, you know, Rock Boat Fam will definitely, you know, light the torch and carry the banner. So, I put my faith in that, and luckily it worked out all in the end. Still in a bit of debt, but you know what? It's definitely worth it. Yeah. Because I was supposed to put out the record last year, and I went a whole year of not performing, not putting out music. And it just felt terrible. Like, I didn't feel like myself. Like, I didn't, if I'm not like putting out music or performing or any of those things, I start to get like, you know, not sound traumatic, but I just start sitting there going, why am I here? What am I doing with myself? Like, mm-hmm. why give me all the tools if I can't build what I need to prop up?
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds like it's like that phrase, short-term pain for long-term gain. And
100%. Yep. Yep.
You know, that's, and your music's awesome. And yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. The Rock Boat family, and it's got to be so fulfilling as an artist to be able to, because I personally feel like that maybe is not always the easiest thing to do, is to go out there and ask people, you know, ask the fans, your listeners for help.
It's not. And it's definitely tough. It's a bit of a bite on your pride. You know, you post about an amazing opportunity that you just succeeded with. And then you're asking for money, and it's like, well, why are you asking for money if you just did this? You know, that kind of thing. It's like, well, it's not, it's a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. And, it's very much, you know, you gotta spend money to make money with this kind of thing.
Can you walk us through the title of the LP, Mixed Emotions? Is it based on your own mixed emotions about certain things, or?
And how long were you holding on to that title? Did you have it beforehand and it was inspiration for the songs, or was it the tail end? Like, we just went through a shit show here to bring out this product.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was, I had the title for, a couple of years. I think I even initially had pitched it, you know, to the guys in Night Without Cars. I don't know where I got it from. I just remember it always being there, like in my notepad, and always looking at it and being like, that sounds really cool. Like I'd really love to make something that, you know, that kind of plays with that. And, I wanted to call my second EP that, but I felt like I liked the title too much, where I was like, I don't want to just throw it away and put it on an EP that has only four songs on it. I think if I'm ever going to use it, it should be like, you know, an album, and maybe even my first album. And I think it's a really fitting title too, just because, and this wasn't done on purpose, but, a lot of the songs, all the songs on the record, are pretty different from one another. It really is, you know, no pun intended, like a mixed bag of songs. So, I thought it was really fitting, for this one. And again, it kind of leaned into the whole, let me try and be my authentic self. I'm a huge video game nerd. Let's lean into that. And I just kind of wanted to create something that's like, I don't want to say like a place, but like, I've always loved, storytelling, obviously. And I like musicals a lot too. And I really wanted like, something that the branding can be like a place, like something that's like, you know, it's the Mixed Emotions Arcade. That's where you hear this. That's where you see this. And it's kind of, with that being said, the second album will be something similar. Again, it's a title that I've had in my notepad for like years. And
I always find that so fascinating with artists, how they have like, songs and like you've been sitting on this, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
But
I was just,
no, not at
feel
all.
Like years of songs.
Since it blows my mind.
Sure. Yeah, there's definitely plenty of ideas and songs and stuff that just sit, you know, on my computer or on my phone forever. Maybe they never see the light of day. Maybe they do. But I'm my personality won't let me sit on something that I think is good for too long. So I'm always when I if there's like a phrase or something like the Mixed Emotions Arcade that I think is really good, I just like have to see it through, which is why even like, you know, like I said, the second album title is already there, because it's been sitting in my phone for years, and I need to see it like done. I can't like let that pass. And then once the cachet is cleared, I'll think of some new titles and ideas. But for now, I think I have a kind of a set goal on what I want to accomplish next.
Well, our listeners are already loving that tease that there will be a second album coming out.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Rock Boater's ears are, and all our listeners, all their ears are, you know, that's there. There's, yeah, they're going to be super excited.
And we've talked to another, we've talked to other bands that have kind of done the Kickstarter thing for their albums. And I remember telling them, like, I think the fans like actually like that idea because it gives them kind of a feel that they had a piece in the making of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
So yeah, I wouldn't think of it as like a burden on you to, you know, reach out there. Fans love doing that kind of stuff for sure.
Yeah. There's definitely that surprising aspect. I think at the end of the day, it's similar to why people like enjoy music. It's just about like engaging and connecting. And when you feel like you're a part of something, you feel like you're helping something, you know, come to fruition. I think that can be kind of the inspiring catalyst to, you know, to help a fellow artist out.
I want to circle back to something you had said a short time ago, and you said you really enjoy storytelling and whatnot. And I just want to say, I'll never forget, one of my top five Rock Boat moments was being able to see you. And I think it was, you were on the boat and I think we were in, I forget where it was. It was inside and you were mm-hmm. on the ground with a guitar and people were just writing down, words. And I think you made us.
Right, right.
No, yeah. it was in that lounge. Like,
oh, was yeah. it? Oh, the Bliss?
Bliss, yeah. Bliss, yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. And I just think, you know, that's a testament to you and you know, whether that's a form of storytelling, I don't know, but I just thought it you know, triggered a memory there when you said storytelling. So
yeah. Yeah. That was something that was like kind of pulled together last minute, but, you know, that just kind of falls back into the feeling you're part of something and engaging. You know, I know everybody on the boat are such, you know, massive music fans. And you know, at the end of the day, everybody has something to say, everybody's feeling a certain way. And I just thought it'd be kind of a cool opportunity to, share my process, but at the same time, kind of open the door for, anybody else to get a word in and just like, you know, create something, you know, together. It was last minute, so it could have went smoother. I think if I'm ever invited back, it definitely would write out a whole kind of, for lack of a better term, show, so that people don't have to just sit there looking at me with my head down, writing in a notebook, twiddling their thumbs until I come up with something clever.
I don't think Chris minded. It seemed like he was feeling gooder than good at that time.
I was doing gooder than
good. Also, in his top five was when he came back an hour later and his $1,000 and phone were still there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I want to give you some kudos there because you're, and correct me if I'm pronouncing the name of the song wrong. It's pronounced Jackie Boy, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I know that it recently ranked number 12 on the Hyped It top 100 streaming for rock charts. So
yeah. Actually, I hit number 3.
Oh, boom. Nice.
Damn. Yeah,
congratulations. Forget about 12.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving up.
Stupid number.
Worst number ever.
Also a huge fan of Shakespeare Cowboy, and the name of the song was like, how, you know, obviously Jackie Boy, I'm assuming that's because your name's Jack. Is that a fair parallel? Okay. How do you like come up with like the Shakespeare Cowboy? Like, can you walk us through that?
I think that was another, when the song was being written, it had nothing to do with, you know, Shakespeare Cowboy. We didn't say it in the lyrics or anything like that, but I really wanted to say it. that was in my phone. I'd written it down at some point and I just thought it looked really cool and it sounded really cool. So I have thrown that out to, one of my producers and, I wrote it with, one of my producers, Ryder Stewart and, Andy Tongren, who's the lead singer of, the band Young Rising Suns. Have you ever heard of them? And I threw out the Shakespeare Cowboy idea and they were like, that sounds cool. Like, that sounds different. Like, let's call it that. And then we just tried to find a way to tie it into the lyrics somehow. And I mean, we found it pretty quickly. And once that happened, it just all fell together. And I think it's probably my favorite song on the record. But also I feel like my favorite song kind of changes every couple of weeks. So we'll see. We'll see what my answer is in a couple of weeks.
What is in the future for all your music fans and listeners for Paris Mitchell?
Yeah. 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 So, for me, I have a show, April 20th in New York at Heaven Can Wait. Nice. You can get tickets now. I'm hoping to have an album release show, like physical show, sometime in June when the record drops. I might release another single or two after that, just because we're just still cooking. There'll be a second album. No idea when that's going to start, but hopefully sooner than later. And hopefully I tour too. I'm really looking to get back on the road. I'm looking to perform a lot more. It's been too long. I have that itch every day that doesn't go away no matter how much time has passed.
Yeah.
That's as far as Paris goes music wise. As far as Night Without Cars go,
yeah.
I did talk to the guys and they said it's totally cool for me to kind of just officially announce that we're back.
Nice.
We're together. It's a thing.
Awesome. Still got the same name.
Still the same. Yeah, we're not gonna change it again. We're not rebooting it for a fifth time.
I did get one of those koozies with all of the lines struck out of previous things. Yeah, that was epic.
Only you guys would like true fans would understand that and get that. So I'm glad people enjoyed that one. We're all still like best friends and we all still talk like every day pretty much. And we had a call recently where we're like, because every other text we send each other is something along the lines of like, oh, I miss performing. Oh, I miss writing. Oh, remember this, remember that, you know? So it just got to a boiling point where last time we were on a call, all together, we were like, I know that we all have, you know, different lives right now. And, you know, we're all in different locations too, for the most part. So let's try and make this work in the most capacity that we can with what we have, you know. And then when we sat down and started really thinking about it, it doesn't seem too difficult as we might have initially thought. We have a lot of songs that we recorded that are pretty much good to go for the most part, that we never released. Mm. We have songs, you know, written that we never recorded and never released. I think the general consensus was we still have a lot to say and a lot to do. And it would just be, you know, pretty silly to sit on them and just let them, you know, continually collect dust. I think, you know, we talked about, you know, some possible tours. We do have, I think I'm not 100% positive. I'm 98% positive that we have a couple of shows in the summer with another Rock Boat band, a band that's been on the Rock Boat, but I cannot say who.
Love it.
Spoiler.
But they're awesome. I'm hoping we can, you know, release tunes soon. I know there's a couple already that are like completely done that we love, that we've always talked about. We might redo some songs. We might re-record some stuff. We might revamp other things. You know, we had a second EP that we didn't really have a great time making, and it was very rushed, and we ended up taking that EP off of, you know, offline because we just weren't happy with how it came out. But people still really enjoyed some of those songs, so we might go back and just redo that whole record in a new way. You know, Alex over the years has gotten so tremendous at producing and mixing. And, you know, so I think something in our earlier days, something that could kind of hold us back was you know, getting professional audio engineers and producers and mixers and all that stuff. And now we have one in-house in the band. So if it's not going to cost us a dime, then let's just go for it. Let's just see what we can do. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, as you're looking at tours for next year, make sure you leave January 26th through the 31st open. Okay. You know, maybe get that tour down to Miami. Just saying, just putting it out there.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. That would be nice. Don't think that we're not praying to the,
the six the man rock gods.
Gods that, yeah. The sloth gods.
Jack, thanks so much for finding time to chat with us about what you have going on, what the future has.
Yeah, man.
All the good things.
Thank you. Man.
Heck yeah. This is awesome.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it, and I love catching up with you guys, and really appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
Heck yeah.
Likewise.
All right. Well, hey, we'll see you around, man.
All right. See you around, man.
Take care.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye.